Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning. Todd Zwillick here with Lynn Scherr. We're both filling in for John Hockenberry. Well, when the White House Green Jobs advisor Van Jones resigned on Saturday, it was clear that this was a story about cable television as much as it was about politics, and here's why. According to many news reports, Van Jones came undone after Fox News personality Glenn Beck began looking for dirt on Jones. Well, here's a simple fact about it. Glenn Beck's show on Fox draws around 3 million viewers a night. Now, for those of you who don't watch television or don't watch Fox, here's a little taste of Glenn Beck responding to a caller who disagreed with his views on healthcare.
Kathy, get off my phone! Get off my phone, you little pinhead! I don't care! You people don't care about the trillions! Get off my phone!
What do you think he really meant?
It doesn't sound that much different from what Howard Stern does on the radio, but Glenn Beck has a huge politically charged audience. At a time when President Obama seems to be struggling to get his message across, even from the bully pulpit, Glenn Beck has no problem being heard loud and clear, especially when he yells that loud. Well, to help us answer when Glenn Beck got so powerful and why, we're joined by Michael Harrison, the founder and publisher of Talkers Magazine. He's here in the studio. And also by Robert Thompson, professor of television and radio and film at the Syracuse University, where he is also director of the Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture. Michael Harrison here in the studio. Is this just about ratings? Does Glenn Beck yell and scream because people just like to hear it, and it's just about getting eyes on the screen? What is this?
Well, certainly not being his shrink, I don't know how he feels deep inside, but
sure.
I would say that by and large, it's about ratings, it's about revenue, it's about show business, and that is the primary mission of commercial media in America today.
What is that objectively?
I'm not being subjective.
Okay, well, what does the business, capital B. What do they think of Glenn Beck? Are people envious about his audience? Is that all it's about? Are they
in commercial media? Without making it sound like it's totally crass, I would say that primarily they're envious, and that he's admired for being able to take it up a notch in terms of getting attention, getting media buzz, having an impact on public policy and the news itself, which is
isn't that a crass thing to say? I mean, if it's all about money, if it's all about bottom line, is there no area here for you know, actual public discourse?
Well, I believe it's a very, very murky situation, and I don't believe this is new. I just think it's now always seems more profound, and it's more heightened as we get deeper into the 21st century. We're becoming less self-conscious about our motives in terms of public discussion. Politics has become like football or baseball, a spectator sport, mm-hmm. and entertainment as much as it's become serious business of running the country. And the line between the two is very blurry.
All right, Robert Thompson on the phone, professor of television and radio and film at Syracuse. Let me play a bit of tape from Glenn Beck. I want to get your reaction to it. I'll get Michael's reaction to it as well. Glenn Beck doing what he does best, talking about the president of the United States.
This president, I think, has exposed himself as a guy over and over and over again who has a deep-seated hatred for white people or the white culture. I don't know what it is.
Robert Thompson in Syracuse, I said before, it doesn't sound too terribly different from what Howard Stern used to do, still does on the radio, but Glenn Beck has set himself up as a real nemesis of the president. How did he do it?
He has, and let's remember, though, that Glenn Beck is also a comedian, so we know that part of this is show business. We know that he's good at it. I think, you know, your colleague asked the question after we heard that screaming rant, what do you suppose he means, or what do you suppose
right.
he thinks? I think part of what makes Glenn Beck and guys like him, Rush and Hannity and O'Reilly and so forth, so satisfying to their audiences is you always know exactly what they mean. They are so fundamentalist in their beliefs, and by that I don't mean fundamentalist Christian. I mean fundamentalist. They know what they think, and they say it really, really loud. And that is highly satisfying to their listeners and viewers. And let's remember, they don't have to appeal to all of us. They don't care if they alienate 90% of the population. Glenn Beck's audience is considered a big hit at 3 million. We sometimes forget that there are 300 million people in this country.
And it's the thing that always gets me is where we are now, both in television and in much of radio, is nothing is subtle. There are no grays. Everything is either black or white. No racial pun intended here in terms of what Mr. Beck was quoted as saying earlier.
I don't think anybody may have ever used the word subtle and Glenn Beck in the same paragraph, much less the same sentence.
Well, Robert Thompson, let me ask you quickly. I'd like to hear Michael address the same question. It's the chicken and egg question. Does Glenn Beck rail against the president, call him a racist, a Marxist, a socialist, a Nazi, if he did in fact call him a Nazi? I don't remember if he did that one. Does he do it because he knows it's what his audience wants to hear, or is the audience revved up and they think these things because Glenn Beck said it?
Well, it's like the chicken and egg question in that the two of them are forever in a dance and nobody's leading. I mean, I think probably by the kind of normalizing and institutionalizing and verbalizing those feelings, to some extent he may be quote-unquote causing them in more people. But at the same time, clearly there are a lot of people out there who want to hear it. So I think the two of those are forever in a symbiotic relationship.
And that's Robert Thompson, professor of television, radio, and film at Syracuse University. Michael Harrison, publisher of Talkers Magazine, what do you think about the chicken and egg here?
I do think it's a symbiotic relationship. I agree almost completely with the professor. It's like a mirror. You look in the mirror, you see what you look like, but it influences you to make a change with your hair, your makeup, whatever. And that's the way the media is. It reflects society, and then society takes a lead from that reflection. It's a two-way street. It's media theory. It's complex.
So 3 million, just real quickly, 3 million is big ratings in cable news business, but the president has the bully pulpit. How did he lose at least part of the message to a guy with 3 million viewers?
Because the media today echoes what these niche media do. Somebody could do something on the internet that's very isolated, and then everybody plays it over and over and over, and it amplifies the message and gives the impression it's larger than it really is. And that's a phenomenon that we see today, as evidenced by the fact that we're talking about Beck's message here on a medium that is targeted to a whole different group.
All right. That's Michael Harrison, founder and publisher of Talkers Magazine, a leading trade publication for talk radio and television. Thanks for being in the studio with us. We also heard from Robert Thompson, of course, from Syracuse. We're talking about Glenn Beck and his grabbing at least of part of the megaphone from the president as the summer debate wraps up.